Close again.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
And we're off and running on a Manic Monday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. It was a wildly diverse weekend. Lots of different things going on and lots of different people with lots of different perspectives. I will say I enjoyed my weekend, although we had some things not as enjoyable going on at our house, but I was reminded this weekend of just why I love sports. It is a wonderful escape. It is a wonderful place to go and find true diversity, and it is a wonderful place to see things that you're like, I can't believe what I just saw. Are you kidding me? Unreal. Great stuff. And however you spent your weekend, whether you were protesting, whether you were filled with patriotic pride watching a parade, whether you were off watching and helping with the Ironman Happy Valley event, whether you were watching baseball games or golf or wrestling or whatever you were doing, thanks for tuning in this morning, and we will try to get to all of it as the morning unfolds, but I really was struck just flipping around the TV and just going through our own experiences with just how many different things are going on simultaneously in this world, and you know, different things that different people are prioritizing, and oh, this is really important, this is really important. Again, one person's perspective, no King's rally seems kind of silly, because about 100% of the country agrees, yep, no Kings, and fortunately we don't have any. But hey, have fun with that. It's like, yep, no Kings, okay. I mean, yes, right, fantastic. We all agree you're protesting something that nobody is advocating against. We think people should not have their noses cut off. Let's all rally. No noses cut off. Okay.
All right.
No, we mean it. No noses should be cut off. Yes. Yes, you're right. We agree. Okay. Just wild.
What did they put in your medicated drink this
morning? Oh, it's the good stuff today, baby.
Oh, holy moly. Hi, friends. How are you? Loving the weather? Yeah, not us either. All right. Hey, although I tell you what, it could be worse. You know, one of our favorite lines, if you think you've got it bad, somebody else has it worse. Southwestern PA into West Virginia had flood warnings down there.
Crushed.
I saw one story, San Antonio, Texas, which I've been to. It's been a few years. 10 inches of rain in 24 hours. Can you imagine that? 10 inches of rain in 24 hours. Ugh. Yes, they have flooding and bad things have happened down there. So we have an open line program today. Later on next hour, as always, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Oh, what will we talk about? Weather. Yes, we're all talking about the weather. I think some things were rained out over the weekend. I was in a golf tournament Friday. We only got a little bit wet at the very beginning of the tournament. I'm like, oh, come on, don't you dare rain. It only rained for like two holes, all right? Then it kind of moved off. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. Actually, Mr. Ironhead, I didn't do that bad on Friday. I did pretty good.
Look at you.
Now, I couldn't putt. My putting was abysmal. I need a new putter. I did not make one putt.
Always blame
now, this
the pool. Absolutely.
This is a, yeah, blame the putter.
Absolutely.
This is what's called a scramble. So you have a four-person team, and then you play best ball and all that sort of stuff. I did not make one putt the entire round.
Huh.
I was terrible. Now, some other things, I was great. Off the tee, you know, in the fairway. And normally we were in the fairway. Yeah, normally. But we had a lot of fun, made some new friends. Took part in the thing for the Penns Valley Education Foundation. That's where I live. They're my friends. And so I think we had an overall, we had a great event. Again, we missed the rain on Friday. So if you took part in that event, way to go. Didn't win a doggone thing, but that's okay. All right. That's had a nice meal at the end of the round. That was perfectly great. So, yes, there are plenty of heavy topics on the menu. Holy mess. I mean, some of these are mind-boggling, some of these are angering, some of these are what the, you know, that sort of stuff. How about we hold that for later in the show, all right, because we have our sports segment coming up in a little bit, and it was a busy sports weekend, as my friend just said. Yeah, the guy made, what was it, a 64-foot putt?
To, a little end, more.
To end the U.S. Open. The clips are all over social media. I did not watch the tournament. But
oh,
I,
you missed a great tournament.
I mean, J.J. Spahn makes a, he's up a stroke, and all he has to do is get up and down, and he wins. Well, forget that. Up was all he needed. All right? 64-foot putt into the hole. Now, I tell you what, if he had missed that putt, it was going to keep going. So that was either a gutsy putt or a lucky putt or whatever you want to call it. From 64 feet, it's a lucky putt. All right, I think any professional, any golfer will tell you. You make a putt from 64 feet, if I remember that right, that's a lucky putt.
Yeah, he got a good read on it. It was
64 feet.
Yeah, he got it. It worked out perfectly for him. The he got a great read on the putt right before his. And made great use of it.
Unbelievable, right on the
line that he needed to be on.
So remember his name, J.J. Spahn. I mean, he's like, who's this guy? You know, all the big names, they kind of fell off. He was the only, we mentioned this last week, he was the only guy to finish under par.
Yep.
He was the only one, and he finished one under for 72 holes. That tells you that Oakmont, which is in western PA, I've never been there, would love to go there sometime, if just to walk the course maybe, like, okay, kind of like Augusta down in Georgia. I just want to walk the course and, all right, I've seen that on TV. Yep, okay, I saw that over there. One under for an entire tournament is unbelievable. Now, granted, the weather had a little something to do with that. All right. The weather over the weekend, not stupendous. Thanks to all the folks that took part in the Belfont Cruise. All right. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, Saturday was a bit soggy.
A little bit.
Unfortunately. We concluded our summer splash promotion. Now, we didn't mean summer splashes and rain. Okay. That's pretty much what it was on Saturday.
As it turns out.
So for folks that went, great. All right, congratulations. You've got great patience. Unfortunately, weather didn't exactly cooperate this year. So anyway, then the big Ironman triathlon was yesterday. Now, it's interesting. Again, Scott here, I live in Penns Valley, so when I come into State College, there's several different routes I can take. There's one in particular I like. It's kind of a back route. And so I'm taking the back route into town this morning. You know, farmer's fields, very rural. I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, here's two porta-potties on the edge of a farmer's field. And I wasn't quite thinking. I'm driving. I'm like, what are they doing here? Two porta-potties in the middle of nowhere on the edge of a farmer's field. Then it hit me. Oh, yeah, this was the biking route for the triathlon. All right. Now, I don't know if you're a biker, if you really have to go, what, do you just pull over and use the porta potty? Or was that for people, I'm assuming there were, you know, fans and so on, kind of standing along the roadway, you know, cheering the people on and all that sort of stuff. Two porta potties on the edge of nowhere. I'm thinking, where did they come from? That's where they came from. So congratulations to all the Ironman folks. Yeah, they got wet, but think about it. They started with that swim up at Bald Eagle State Park, getting wet in the rain, it's like, who cares?
They just stayed wet.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? Just keep going, keep going. And they did. So that looked like that was a big hit. So that's kind of cool. Yesterday, of course, was Father's Day. Come on. What did you do for Dad? Now, in my case, my two girls don't live here, but they both dutifully called their dad yesterday to wish me a happy
aww,
Father's Day. Isn't that nice? I appreciated that. But doggone it, we'll take our call here. I've got some numbers that just make me see red.
Oh, boy.
But let's take our call first.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Happy Father's Day, my favorite dad.
Wow.
I'm not going to start out with anything crazy or controversial.
Happy day
Monday
after
morning.
Okay.
I have a different perspective on what's going on. You guys really have to listen to this.
Great.
You got to remember, I've been involved in politics since I was 13. Joined the Young American Strength. My wife asked me why. I said, because I don't like being told what to do. That's why. I never liked it as a kid. And to be able to do that, I have to be able to tell people to go to hell legally. So that's why I became a conservative.
Okay.
And and even most people that own their businesses don't do it for money, because they can't work for anybody else. They don't like being told what to do, and half the times they're wrong. It includes me. And that's why you need good people working for you, because a lot of owners just don't know what the hell they're doing. But that said, I tend to video a lot, and I'm on TikTok and X, and I was on TikTok since it was Musical.ly, when they were just dancing, because I had teenage daughters. But I found that I wasn't going to post on TikTok. Well, that didn't work. So, you know, when I cover events, I do it just personally. I do it as a reporter where I don't give any input, believe it or not, Scott. I just present the news.
Amazing.
So I decided to go to the event that was the No Kings event. And I had a whole different perspective on what was going to happen. And it was the exact opposite. And all I did was video 91 seconds of video. Now, get ready for this. And they were very patriotic, from 6 years old to in their 80s, waving flags and No Kings, and thousands of people doing this. And I'm going to tell the Republicans, you better get off your rear ends, because they're changing their strategy. They're going to wave flags, and they're going to appear to be conservative or family or whatever. And let me tell you, do you watch the protests stop, and you're going to see the Democrats and the leftists are regrouping. I'm just warning the rhinos and the Republicans. Don't take this win for granted, okay? And there's another thing that scared me. I received 6,677 views since that event. Do you know how many views I normally get when I rant? 100, 200? I've never, ever. And all I did was take video of the event for 91 seconds. 6,677 views. And I was like, are you at what? 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 And it was something controversial. I just asked him, why are you protesting? And three people talked to me. Why? I have to rethink our entire strategy politically as a, what would you call it, an objectivist, conservative, anarchist? I'd like you guys to analyze that. I don't know why that got so many views when it was just so silly. Where when you're talking and you're trying to educate people, you're ranting, 100 views, 250 views. I mean, maybe is everyone confused or they're tired of hearing people's political opinion? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, we're going to tackle this a lot later on. Here's a question. You know, this will get an interesting answer. Here we go. From your comment a couple of minutes ago, you said they are doing this. Who exactly is they? That's my question regarding, again, we've got a series of these protests now, and there are going to be more, and they all have funky names. All right, there was Hands Off. Now this one's No Kings. I can't wait for the next one. It's like some marketing person is coming up with these cute little terms to name these things, because probably some consultant says it needs a fancy name, all right, in order to get people to come out. You need a fancy name. Who are the they behind all this? Somebody's behind this. Who's the they?
I, Okay, there's not a someone. I study social media, and I worked with a lot of people in TV and radio over the years, no longer, but and worked in the fascist police state of New Jersey. And they, I call it a conspiracy of philosophy, that when you're, and it's cognitive dissonance, too, when you're raised a particular way and you have a particular viewpoint because of where you live or your socioeconomic status, you're already brainwashed. So the majority of Americans are already socialists. They believe in government control over production and distribution. Let the cop do the job for me. Let the government do the job for me. And that's even Republicans and conservatives think like that, too, in many cases. So when you're on social media, you like to align with people that agree with you. So when you say, you know, they're doing that. See, people don't realize Barack Obama, he deported 5 million illegal aliens. You don't hear about that. But they are easily manipulated. Actually, people in general in social media are easily manipulated. It's a conspiracy of philosophy. Now, when you see the Black Lives Matter riots or the George Soros riots that are funded and people go, they gave me $100 to show up or $200 to show up. You can find, like, to give an example, they said the daughter of I can't think of his name, Walmart.
Tim Walton.
Sam Walton. Okay.
Oh, Sam Walton. All right.
They claim she helped fund this movement. I even have documentation that shows that where I am here, the permit was put in a year ago to protest the parade that happened. So this is interesting. So was there a switch? And this is what's interesting. I know it's a long answer to a short question, but the daughter, the one of the daughters of Sam Walton is a flaming liberal. But on top of that, you know, liberalism and conservatism loves money. Well, is Trump going to hurt their inventory as far as prices when they get everything from China? Of course. So what do? You fund an organization, and there's ample evidence to show, and I didn't believe it until I saw it myself, that she did this and helped this movement. So I think there are multiple sources that are funding these events.
All right.
But they're all working on the emotions of the individual because media knows how to play. That's why commercials work. They know exactly the buttons to push to get people to react. And these look like really good people. Any one of them that were 3,000-4,000 people, you could add coffee with you, nice conversation. They're probably great family people. That scares me. Not like no other protest I've covered. I've never seen anything like it. That scares me.
Well, I tell you what, I can't disagree with anything you just said. Did I just say that out loud?
There's also, I want to get into it later in the program, too. The way, and both sides do this, but the actual numbers, the actual facts, quote-unquote, on the ground, and then the perceptions that are out there. I think that's a fascinating study in and of itself and how we can get ourselves, all of us, can get ourselves worked up into a lather and emotional because of an instance of whatever it may be, and then you step back and it's like, well, okay. But, like, the overall picture here, not quite as dire or as wonderful, depending, again, on which side of whatever particular issue you're discussing. It is also fascinating. Part of what has happened, too, over the decades is, and I do think this is still the overriding concern, and I think it's why there is such a push against Trump and such an effort to paint him as evil, is they know that by playing that game, that emotional game, the, you know, typical Republicans and Democrats, they're just trying to keep their seats and keep themselves in position to gain fortune, which is exactly the opposite of what you should be doing while serving in an elected capacity in this country. Donald Trump is doing the opposite. Whether you like him or not, whether you hate him or not, the guy is clearly giving up more than he is getting, which is not what you can say for Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Bush, you go through the list of folks that have gone in to quote-unquote public service and come out much much better shape economically, like way beyond what their salary is. Huh, well, how does that happen? Well, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the fact that I have you all roused up because of whatever issue it is that I'm making up that I'm wanting you to focus on while I continue to make my fortunes off of you.
No, he's obviously returning power back to the people.
Yes.
And that's why and that's why they despise him. And everything he's doing,
yes,
he's returning power back to you. Because you know he's not going to be around forever. He's just turned, what, 80 years old? But let me tell you, in statistics, I used to program some big stations. And there was one summer where I couldn't hear the station anywhere. I mean, nowhere. It was just nowhere. And I'm like, we're going to get killed. The phones were dead, nothing. The ratings went up. There was another rating period. I heard the station everywhere. The phones were everywhere. The ratings went down. And that's when you're talking about perception. And I think another thing we need to remember is conservatives or individualists don't protest. I've never protested because we're not collectivist in nature. So you're right. You're right, Jeff. We're seeing the people that are collectivist in nature that like to have groups and organizations and circle jerk of how they're going to save the world come out in mass. But really, they're the minority because the average conservative or individualist, We don't want to sit around and and figure out, you know, how are we going to make Bob happy to make this work. We just do it. We just do it. And the consequences are what they are. So I think you're right in that. That's a very astute perception. I think that hits to the heart of it. Just because you're seeing 4,000 people protest, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the end, you know, that it's the majority. So... All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Right. I'm not going to sit here and let you call me astute. You're astute, dude. Take that.
Thanks for your call.
I'm not going to name calling. Let's not get caught up in name calling.
Let's take a break. You can look up
we're
the
all
word
astute.
You
at
can
the
look.
End of the day.
Look up the word astute.
Oh, okay.
All right. We'll look that up. We'll have more thoughts on this a little later on. All right. Oh, yes, we will. Along with a bunch of other interesting things from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 Fox. Yep, we'll do a sports segment like we always do. We'll lighten up, if you will, and then we'll see what happens after that. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you more after this.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog, or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
for quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up. Also be checking in with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, in the final segment of this morning's big show. Lots to get into on the weather front as well. And, we'll tackle all of that and more in the coming segments. Right now, we take a check of sports. The story coming out of the Final X Men's Freestyle Wrestling event in Newark, New Jersey on Saturday was one P.J. Duke. The incoming Penn State freshman from Slate Hill, New York, has his final day of high school today. Graduating high school. Today is his last day. He stunned world silver medalist and four-time NCAA champion Yanni Diakamahalis 2-1 to earn the world team spot for Team USA at 70 kilograms. Folks, you've got to feed the beast. And the beast in this case is no doubt P.J. Duke. He will turn 19 here on July 7th, and the Beast ate very, very well in Newark, New Jersey over the weekend. You can feed your beast, whether your beast is a horse, a pig, a cow, a dog, or a cat, chickens, maybe the outdoor birds you're just trying to take care of. You can feed your beast by stopping on in the Center Hall Farm Store at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, and they also have everything you need to keep your gardens and orchards flourishing over the summer. We're struggling obviously to get enough rain to keep the everything growing here.
Yeah.
Huh?
We're struggling.
So they can help you with all kinds of nourishment for your plants at the Center Hall Farm Store. Again, 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. And you can also find them online at centerhallfarmstore.com. Every now and then, I stop in there fairly frequently. Every now and then when I go in there, I can get them to talk a little wrestling. If you're a wrestling fan,
just a little.
You might be able, if you really push the issue, might be able to get them to talk just a little wrestling
right
while you're there. Mm-hmm. Just a little tip from your old pal Ironhead.
Yes, sir.
P.J. Duke, what made the result here on Saturday all the more shocking? Shocking enough that you have a high school kid knocking off a world silver medalist, a four-time NCAA champion who has all kinds of experience over the teenager. Making it all the more remarkable, though, the first bout was a 10-0 win for Diakima Hollis. Cruise to the first win. Ooh, and then Diakima Hollis was up 9-2 going into the second period of the third bout. So he had outscored P.J. Duke 19-2, if you're keeping track and doing the math, 19-2 through three periods of wrestling. P.J. Duke then found another gear and ended up prevailing 17-10 in the second match. That forced the decisive third bout. Now, here is one of the most remarkable things you're ever going to hear in wrestling. Diakima Hollis was up 2-0 in the second period when Duke worked up on a single leg and then took Diakima Hollis to his back and secured the pin with 1:53 left in the second period. Now, you may be saying to yourself, self, boy, I don't remember the last time Diakima Hollis got pinned. Well, here's why. He never was.
He never's been pinned.
Well, Ironhead, you're talking about like in international. Well, yes, never pinned in international competition. Well, oh, okay. Maybe in college. Nope, he was never pinned in NCAA. No. All right, but I mean high school, dude. Nope, never pinned in high school. All right, but I mean elementary school. No, he was never pinned in a competition. Now, maybe in the practice room, that I don't know about. Never. Not in elementary school, not in high school, not in college, not in any competition. Ever was Yanni Diakima Hollis pinned until Saturday by P.J. Duke. Folks, that is insane. And it was a lot of fun. And if you're a Penn State fan, you can't help but be a little excited about the prospect of watching this young man compete for your team in the coming years. Again, it had the place buzzing at the Prudential Center, understandably. P.J. Duke immediately, he gets the pin. They slam the mat, and he leaps to his feet and does a backflip.
Wow.
To just give you an idea of the athleticism and the enthusiasm that P.J. Duke brings to the table. He, as of now, will be the youngest world team member in U.S. history. That could change next month because Jax Forrest, who is also finishing up, I think he has finished up his high school career, but the Oklahoma State recruit will be wrestling another former Cornell wrestler, Vito Arruja. That bout got postponed because of some health issues with Arruja, and so they will wrestle here in July for the final spot on Team USA. If Forrest wins, he will then become the youngest, and Duke would be the second youngest. But as of right now, P.J. Duke looks to be the youngest ever world team member for Team USA in freestyle wrestling. Just remarkable. He is joined by Levi Haynes on the world team. Haynes very impressive and very steady in taking his two wins, two matches to none over Evan Wick at 79 kilos. Haynes winning the first match by technical fault, had nothing, and then taking the second bout 6-1. Mitchell Messenbrink lost two tough decisions to David Carr, 4-3 and 4-4 on criterium at 74 kilos. Josh Barr lost a pair of very physical matches to Trent Hidley, the Lewistown native, by scores of 6-1 and 3-2. So Hidley secures the spot at 92 kilos. And Luke Lilladol dropped a pair of decisions, 7-2 and 6-0, to 2024 Olympic silver medalist Spencer Lee at 57 kilos. Also, Kyle Snyder of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club sweeping a pair of matches over Hayden Zilmer at 97 kilos by scores of 8-0 and 8-2. Snyder, the three-time world champion and Olympic gold medalist, back on Team USA. Kyle Dake of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club dropped a pair of decisions to Zahid Valencia by scores of 5-3 and 4-1 at 86 kilos. Duke and Haynes are two of the six first-time World Team members for the men's team USA. Also Saturday, Carter Sirachi, who won his unprecedented fifth NCAA title in March, won the true third-place match over Parker Kekizen 4-3. That win gives Sirachi a spot on the world team as the top three at each weight class are officially on the team. Incoming Penn State freshman Marcus Blaze, who just graduated from Perrysburg High School in Ohio, won his true third-place match at 65 kilos, defeating Nebraska NCAA runner-up Brock Hardy by an 8-2 score. Real Woods beat Joey McKenna two matches to none to take the spot at 65 kilos. Wyatt Hendrickson swept Trent Hilger 10-0 and a wild 20-14 bout. It is fun when you see the big guys putting up 34 points in 6 minutes of wrestling. So Hendrickson takes the spot at 125 kilos. Again, the lone remaining world team spot will be decided July 14th in Fargo, North Dakota, when Vito Arruja will wrestle Jax Forrest for the 61-kilogram spot. Women's freestyle team will have Audrey Jimenez at 50 kilos, Felicity Taylor at 53 kilos, Crystal Rodriguez at 55 kilos, Jakara Winchester at 59 kilos, Adago Nwachukwu at 62 kilos, Macy Kilty at 65 kilos, Kennedy Blades at 68 kilos, Alexandra Glad at 72 kilos, and Kylie Welker at 76 kilos. The World Championships are set for September 13th through the 21st. In Croatia. In a game heard here on Friday. Man, was that a long afternoon, and I thought it was all going to be worth it at the end. What a season, what a career for those seniors, but Baldy Galeria losing just a wild game, a heartbreaker in the PIAA AAA Championship to Pine Grove Friday afternoon. The game was delayed about 15 minutes from the previous game, then another 30 minutes due to rain, and then the game went on and on and on. Pine Grove beating Baldy Galeria in the longest PIAA championship game since 1975. Pine Grove winning at 4-3 on a bases-loaded sacrifice fly from winning pitcher Jamie Dinger in the bottom of the 13th. Addison Burns put Baldy Galeria up early with a two-run double in the third, but Pine Grove answered in the bottom of the inning with a run, and then the Cardinals took the lead with two runs in the fourth. Taylor Habovic came up big, though, tying the game in the top of the seventh with a sacrifice fly after Sierra Albright led off the inning with a double. Both teams had plenty of opportunities. The defenses kept making play after play to keep their teams in it until that 13th inning. Albright finished the game with 12 strikeouts and finishes her career with 1,014 strikeouts for Bald Eagle Area. Her catcher, Kaylee Eckert, continued to be the offensive force that she has been throughout her career. She finished the day 3-for-4 and drew a couple of walks to boot. Baldy Galeria out hitting Pine Grove in the game 12-5, but the Eagles finished the season with a record of 22-4. Pine Grove finishes at 27-2. Also Friday, Union Area winning the single A title with a 12-2 win over Northeast Bradford, and the 5A championship game saw Penn Trafford shut out Greencastle Antrim 2-0. In the PIAA Baseball Championship games Friday, it was Faith Christian winning the AA title over Freedom Area 13-1. In the Quad A Championship game, Indiana edged Montoursville 5-4. Indiana, of course, had defeated Bellefonte in the opening round of the state playoffs in 12 innings, 1-0, to give you an idea of how close Bellefonte was. In the 6A Championship game, oh, you talk about a heartbreaker. Cedar Cliff scored the only run of the game. They were scoreless in the bottom of the 13th. North Penn and Cedar Cliff, nothing. Cedar Cliff got the bases loaded, and then the Colts won the game on a walk-off balk.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're kidding.
And I, just a quick little side story on that. So Matt Brown, Penn State wrestling fans will remember, won an NCAA title match on a singlet pull. You're not allowed to get your hand inside the singlet. Casey Cunningham saw Brown's opponent in the championship match, did it. They were in overtime. The officials are like, yeah, it's, they went back and reviewed it. It's like, yep, he pulled the singlet and that was it. And Matt Brown talked about, yeah, it's not quite how you picture winning the national title, but, you know, I'm going to take it. And at the time, it's exactly the comparison I made. It's like, well, if you're in the Game 7 of the World Series and the pitcher balks, you don't just say it's not a balk. Like, you got to take the win.
It's a rule.
So that is what happened in the championship game. A walk-off balk wins it for Cedar Cliff. Springfield Delco swept the PIAA AAA lacrosse championships at Panzer Stadium on Saturday. The Springfield Delco girls doubled up on Bishop Shanahan 10-5 in their championship game. The Cougars boys defeated Radnor 6-4 in the title game. The AA girls title going to Villa Maria with a 12-8 win over Strathaven. And in the AA Boys Championship, it was Marple Newtown cruising to a 20-7 victory over Trinity. In the PIAA AAA Boys Volleyball Championship Saturday, Cumberland Valley sweeping North Allegheny 3-0 at Rec Hall. And in the AA Championship match, Manheim Central winning 3-1 over Meadville. They took that fourth set, by the way, 27-25. At the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships, 6 Penn State athletes ending up winning All-America honors. All were second team. The competition wrapping up Saturday night in Eugene, Oregon, with Penn State's Maddie Pitts placing 9th in the heptathlon. Top 8, by the way, earned first team All-America honors. Also Saturday, Florence Karen finished 16th in the women's 5,000 meters. Of course, she had also placed 11th in the women's 10,000 meters on Thursday. So she is a two-time second team All-American. Also on Friday, the men's 4x400 relay team finished 9th. That team comprised of Handel Robin, James Onwuka, Max D'Angelo, and Jake Palermo. Two teams share the national championship on the men's side as both USC and Texas A&M finished with 41 points. Arkansas was just 1 point back in third. Auburn was 4th, New Mexico 5th. Georgia winning the women's title, easily outdistancing 2nd place USC. Texas A&M was 3rd, Washington 4th, and Illinois 5th. The 5-star recruits just keep rolling in for Penn State men's hockey. It is amazing what Guy Gadowski is putting together here. This is a stable of talent that NHL teams would be savoring to get. Jackson Smith, a Calgary native who played for the Tri-City Americans in the WHL, has committed to the Nittany Lions. That, according to The Athletic, they reported it yesterday. He is the third highest rated defenseman on Central Scouting's North American list. Smith is projected as a first-round NHL draft pick next year. He has 11 goals and 43 assists in 68 games this season. Penn State on Friday picked up another 5-star recruit, Pierce Bowie. Bowie is a 5-star prospect from Ontario, and he is projected as a first-round NHL draft pick in 2026. Bowie was the Ontario Hockey League Rookie of the Year for the Owen Sound Attack this year. In 63 games, he scored 29 goals and 52 points. You may want to keep your eyes on the Nittany Lions. Just have a feeling that they could do some damage here in the upcoming season. Good Lord, are they talented. The Ironman Happy Valley Triathlon was held yesterday. Over 1,100 people participating in the event that consists of a 1.2-mile swim, a 56-mile bike ride, and a 13.1-mile run. Why would you do that to yourself? Keel Burr won the event with Fernando Malouf taking second and Ezra Swell finishing third. The Spikes and the Black Bears were rained out in West Virginia yesterday. The Black Bears winning Saturday 2-1 in the only game played in the scheduled three-game series. Lightning caused the game Friday to be canceled. The Spikes are off today, and then we'll open, we hope, a six-game homestand tomorrow night with the first of three against Mahoning Valley at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Ian Happ's RBI single in the 10th gave the Cubs a 3-2 victory over the Pirates yesterday in a game heard here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Pittsburgh dropping 3 of 4 at Wrigley Field and wasting yet another quality start from Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller has to get up in the morning and ask himself, why? Why me? In 6 innings, Keller gave up 2 runs on 3 hits and 2 walks, but he gets another no decision. He is 1-9 on the season. If he was on just a regular, average, decent team, he'd be like 7-3 on the year. Just heartbreaking. Pirates starters, by the way, have a 2.97 earned run average since the start of May. You may be saying to yourself, boy, that's pretty good for a starting pitching. Yeah, that's the best in Major League Baseball. Normally, they say pitching wins games. The thing is, you have to have, like, some modicum of offense to go with the pitching. And the Pirates have none. They still are dead last in Major League Baseball in runs scored, and so they are wasting a brilliant pitching staff and a terrific season by their starters. The Bucks are 15.5 games behind the Cubs in the National League Central and 8.5 games from being out of the basement in that division. Only the Rockies continue to hold a worse record in the National League. Thank you, dear Colorado.
Thank you, Colorado.
The Phillies blasted the Blue Jays 11-4 yesterday. Nick Castellanos belted a grand slam. Zach Wheeler throwing 6 strong innings. See, the Phillies, when they get a quality start, they're like, hey, let's get some offense going here. And this is what happens when you just, you know, combine the two. It's beautiful thing. Philadelphia completing a 3-game sweep over Toronto. Meanwhile, the Rays sweeping the Mets over the weekend. So Philadelphia now trails New York by 2.5 games in the National League East. J.J. Spahn won the U.S. Open at Oakmont with some theatrics on the final hole. He needed a 2-putt to secure his first major championship. Spahn instead drained a putt of 64 feet 5 inches, the longest putt made in the entire tournament. It was brutal watching that stretch run as golfer after golfer just faded. The course was ridiculous. I mean, it was a swamp. I have some questions about the USGA rules, but whatever. Taking nothing, Spahn was brilliant. I mean, brilliant down the stretch. Finished birdie on the 17th and the 18th. In those conditions, with that pressure, beyond remarkable. He earned the championship. There is no doubt about it. And boy, he just comes across as a terrific dad person. I don't know him, but man, he comes across. I hope he is in real life what he came across as yesterday, because that was special. Pivotal fifth game of the NBA Finals set for tonight in Oklahoma City. The Thunder and Pacers are tied at 2 games apiece in the best of 7 series. The Florida Panthers are up 3 games to 2 in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Panthers will host the Oilers tomorrow night with a chance to close out the series. An Oilers win would send the series back to Edmonton for a decisive 7th game on Friday night. And that is what we have from a busy weekend in sports. PJ Duke.
Okay, real quick. How many kilos is he? I don't do kilos. What is that in pounds?
He is going to be, he projects probably starting his career at like 157 pounds for Penn State. Possible I don't know that he can get down any lower than that. Of course, the issue, as many people are pointing out, is you have Shane Van Ness at 149, Tyler Kasak at 157, Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, and Levi Haynes at 174. That would be national title contender, national title contender, national champion, and former national champion and clear title contender. So, such is the embarrassment of riches that is Penn State wrestling. We'll take a timeout here, some open phone time on the other side of this break. You're listening to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, and we appreciate your doing so.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox in State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota compact tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
We are both rocking and rolling on a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk. This is Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Some open phone time here. If you want to weigh in at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 gets you into the big show this morning. And we say good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
And say
good morning to my good friend Scott over here.
I'm here. Go ahead.
Scott. That was my next thing, but I just couldn't remember your name. I was just kidding.
That's all right. I'm forgetful, too. Not a big deal. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you're saying P.J. Duke could be a big deal?
He might not be too shabby at this this sport of wrestling. Starting to think there's some promise there.
Yeah. Question. Does Ono not wrestle internationally previously? Or?
Say it again. You broke up a little bit on us. Does Ono wrestle internationally?
Yes, that's what
yes.
I ask.
Yes, he does.
Did he not wrestle, or is he in a different category?
He wrestles for Japan, so this was to make Team USA this event. Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess he'll probably do okay when he gets here, right?
I think he'll be okay as well.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like everybody's going to be okay.
it's not a bad room. That,
okay.
Kale
Thanks, Jeff. I know my phone's been breaking up. I know my phone's been breaking up recently. I don't know why, but. Thanks for the info on the weekend.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I got to tell you, I know we've talked about this periodically. Is something going on? Like, are other people, or is it just my phone? But, like, it is getting worse and worse almost by the day. Like, there are more places now where I'm driving around and I'm like, hello, hello? Like, dang it. I mean, there's some areas that I know, and it's frustrating even as it is. Lamont can be very challenging. Whitehall Road can be very challenging. But, man, there are times now where, like, there's a couple of spots downtown. I'm like, wow, what is going on here? Man, and I don't know.
It would be one thing if there were a ton of people in town, like a football game.
That's the thing, right? And it makes me worry when we get to that point.
Now this morning,
how disastrous is this going to be?
I mean, it was a busy weekend. All right, either protests or triathlons or some other things that may or may not have happened because of weather. I know there was a softball tournament. I'm wondering if they even played because the fields are probably all soggy and stuff. But this morning, I mean, I want to call it a ghost town, but it's pretty quiet. So yeah. Why we were having phone problems this morning, I don't get. Now, I don't know where our caller was calling from. So anyway. All right. 814-954-7266. Speaking of weather, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Weather has become a news story. Either rain, if you follow weather, apparently in a few days it's going to get hot. Like the temperatures will start with the digit 9 on them. So our weather is anything but dull right now. I know you're Mr. Boring Weather. We are not
Big
getting
fan
boring
of the
weather.
Boring weather.
Eesh. Anyway, oh my gosh, where do we start? I'm not sure where to start here. There was a bizarre plane crash. There was a bizarre incident in Minnesota. There is the war between Israel and Iran, and it is a war. Troops may not be moving, but it is a war.
No doubt about that.
There was this big to-do in D.C. on Saturday. Then, of course, all these protesters. And then there's some other stuff. There's the Barry Fenchek story. Some people really want him gone off the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Well, it's not just gone. They're trying to do the Donald Trump treatment here. And I'm curious to see if it doesn't backfire in the same spectacular fashion, ultimately. What I just find bizarre about it is that you are talking about one trustee. Even if he is an out-of-control malcontent, he is one of 35, whatever it is, voting members on the board. And again, he's out in 2 weeks. But what they're trying to do, what they want to do is oust him before that 2 weeks is up. Because if they do that with the way the resolution is written, they want to prevent him from ever being able to serve on the board in the future. If folks want to vote him in, I just have a problem with that mindset to begin with. I saw John Ziegler posted a very interesting piece. I knew some of the backstory there, but the Jerry Sandusky saga and what is happening there is also very interesting. Frank Parlato, apparently, I knew he was talking to one of the Sandusky accusers, one of the accusers at trial, and the gist of it is that the mom knows that it was not accurate. The accuser, according to Ziggler and behind-the-scenes Barlotto is retracting about 98% of his story. Apparently, he is hanging on to, he is claiming one case of abuse, which is like the least credible, or one of the least credible, because he says it happened in the basement of Sandusky's home. But he admits that most of the stuff that he testified to in trial was made up. But this has not been released publicly yet, and therefore the individual's name is not public yet. But now there's a spat apparently here between Ziggler and Parlato. Ziggler does have one of those personalities that I understand it rubs some people the wrong way. I think John is zealous in his pursuit of the truth, and I love him for it. I think Frank Parlato is a terrific investigative reporter. I also, if you go to the Frank Report page, there are a ton of cases that he is constantly working on, which is to his credit. There's a lot out there that needs investigated and needs the truth told about. I do think sometimes it becomes difficult then to finish off any particular story and get it to a resolution. There's some other things going on behind the scenes that I can't really comment on, that there is a real push here to try to get justice for Jerry Sandusky. And it's interesting. Folks that don't follow this case, and there's a lot of them, and I get it. Man, we're all busy, and there's undoubtedly all kinds of other injustices out there that I'm not following, that I'm not aware of. We all, there's only so much any of us can put on our plate. But those that are following it, I at this point, I don't know how you couldn't at least have real doubts about the veracity of the case against Sandusky. From the very real issues of corruption within the prosecution team, which have been well documented. Again, if you delve in just a little bit to the stories, the backstories of some of the accusers, that ought to raise some red flags and question marks. The fact that we have an accuser now that I'm not sure if this is on the record now or not, and that John Ziegler, if you saw his post over the weekend, it's kind of what he's wrestling with, is apparently there was an agreement in place to try to get this stuff out, and I'm not sure. At some point, I got to reach out to both Parlato and Ziegler this week and see if we can get anywhere with this, because I think the overwhelming majority of us, including those that just presume Sandusky's guilt, it's like, well, let's get the whole truth out there and lay everything on the table. That clearly has not been done, certainly not through the judicial process in this case. Now, I think Ziegler and Parlato have done a terrific job of laying out the very real questions, and actually at this point, to me, there's not much doubt about Sandusky's innocence, but regardless of your thoughts on it, the fact that this has not been retried at this late date is a complete travesty. There are very few legal experts who have looked at this case and said, oh, no, by God, man, that was a fair trial. They did everything by the book. Because you can't. You can't look at this case, see the way some things were handled, including the preliminary hearing, and say, oh, yeah, nope, that was just justice playing out the way it always does in this country. It was a joke. And it's a very bad joke because it has very real consequences. That's going on out there as well. There's just a lot on the table.
Yeah. Well, this, before we take a break, the board will have an online meeting today at 3:00.
Yep.
About, Mr. Fenchack. Now, Has to be a two-thirds vote. Well, that's significant. That's a lot of votes. Well, I'm sure local outlets are going to be covering this. But, yeah, if he's voted out, he cannot run again. So when I first saw this story, I'm like, guy's done in 2 weeks, for goodness sakes. Then I read the second part. Okay, yeah. I see what they want to do here. And all, and they keep bringing up the bad joke. He told a bad joke one day.
Yeah, honest to God.
Come on, this has got nothing to do with a bad joke.
Yes, if you're serving on that board, like, honest to God, do better. Be a better person than you are. You're embarrassing yourselves. And for no reason. Like, just stop it. Come on, be better.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Yes, no kings. Yeah, I got a thought or two or ten on that or something. And we'll take your calls. And we have other things to talk about. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do more talking right after this.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Oh, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
Hey, 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 let's talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning if you want to weigh in on anything from the weekend that was. If you have some information about an upcoming event that you'd like to share with the audience, that would be fine. Love hearing from you on absolutely anything. 814-954-7266. If you participated, if you volunteered, or you're actually crazy enough that you ran in the Ironman Happy Valley event, I'd love to hear from you and your perspective on how that went. Know some folks that did help out with some of the various PIAA championship events over the Thursday through Saturday on the Penn State campus between Rec Hall and Medler Field and Nittany Lions Softball Park and Panzer Stadium. We had a lot of great action, a lot of great competition going on there. The protests on Saturday downtown. Again, people have their own perspectives. I'm curious to hear from any of you on any of it.
Yeah, normally summertime is kind of slow. All right, not that there's an event here, an event like the Arts Fest next month. Okay, that's big and so on. But normally it's kind of slow. This is not slow.
Well, let me throw something else into the hopper here, because I've had now two different people, somewhat randomly, in discussions over the course of the last week plus, bring up this idea, and it's been talked about a lot over the years, and it's met with some resistance, and I know some of the downtown business owners, and I think I understand the resistance as far as it goes, but much like consolidation of the local governments, it is something that there's people that discuss it, that, yeah, I think there's some advantages, there's some concerns the other way. It seems like it's just something that gets discussed, not really pushed every now and then, but it's been a while since we've had a real push on that. Similarly, trying to make the downtown State College area more, I don't even know what the term is. I mean, pedestrian friendly, I guess, but more of a, hey, this is a cool place. If you're coming in, you know, we keep talking and tourism is a driving force here. Make no mistake. And not just State College, not just Penn State, but in Center County. And one of the things that I think there are a group of folks that would like to see, and I think it's a growing number of folks, but again, my evidence for that is very anecdotal. But I'm curious to hear folks' thoughts on either closing off that 100 block of Allen Street and making that just a pedestrian walkway, mall area, and again, some of those stores and places need trucks to be able to get in there to get goods to them. Understanding that, I think there's ways we could work around that, I think. And there's concern that the foot traffic will lead to a decline in business, and instinctively, and I've never had a downtown business, so admittedly, it would seem to me that nope, that would push more people toward those businesses, because I think it would be a more attractive setting for downtown State College, and especially for visitors from outside of town. It's, oh, you haven't been to State College in a while? Man, you've got to come down and see this area. And, hey, oh, look over here is Rapid Transit. Boy, they do a great job with the shoes. They fit you. They really take their time. Like, I don't have evidence to back that up, and I know there's been different studies done on that, but short of that, if we don't have that, I was just reading the column that Jeff Dietrich wrote in statecollege.com. I think this came out at the end of last week, on the lack of new, I don't know what you want to call it, high-end dining options in downtown State College. The discussion I've had with a couple of different people who brought it up is, why do we not have more outdoor dining options? At least have like the cover option, kind of like you have at Cafe 210, in more places downtown. And would that not make it a more appealing? Now, again, I think one way to do that is if you make a street or two more pedestrian-oriented, I think it's easier than, well, now we'll just have the outdoor seating here. And, yes, you can grab your meal and head on out and enjoy it outside. Now, the weather this spring does not exactly lend itself to, hey, let's do more outdoor dining.
Yeah,
that's what we really need here in the spring. Cause, but I know, I think there's at least one or two places that are, we're going to have rooftop dining, which I think that would be a neat, neat addition to the downtown area. And various restaurants are coming and going, as I guess is always the case. But we always have, in the summer months, it's just a popular discussion point is, hey, what restaurants would you like to see come into the area? Whether it's chains or, hey, no, I'd just like to see a local, this type of restaurant open up in the area. And again, downtown, I think, has always catered more to students than anybody else. It feels like, to me, and maybe this is just as I get further away from being a student myself, it feels like it is becoming more and more student-focused. And again, I think it's always been, there's an understanding, downtown State College, like that's a significant population that you need to serve, and I think everybody understands that. I think it feels like downtown is sometimes almost exclusively catering to the student population. And it's like, hey, excuse me, we'd like to participate too. Just a thought. I don't know. It's interesting, and no matter what happens, I'm still not happy with all of the high rises. I think it's one of the discussions we had at along with the restaurants was, you know, boy, I really feel like we're in danger of losing the kind of the quaint ambiance of downtown State College. I'm like, losing? Baby, that's gone. That's been gone. That's not there now. That's already gone. That's not coming back. Now it's just a matter of how much we're going to continue to build up in the downtown area. But that small town feel, that is not State College anymore. It's just not.
Simple question. Who lives there? Who lives there?
Well, and that's the other part of it, is increasingly, right, it is.
Just Penn State's
because they're building up, and who's going into the up part of downtown? Yeah, it's students.
It's Penn State students. And are Penn State students going to go to high-end restaurants?
Yep.
Probably not, either because of money or just interest. All right, young people, you know, go to the chicken place or go to the, you know, Taco Bell or something, or you know, Corner Room or similar type restaurants.
Yep.
Now, I had the story last week here. Now, this is a national story. It's not just here, that allegedly, you know, right now 75% of all restaurant business is not people coming in, sitting down and eating.
Yeah.
It's people getting delivery. It's people getting takeout or pickup or whatever. All right. 75% of restaurant business. That was the question I asked last week. When's the last time you went in and sat down at a restaurant? For me, it's been a very long time. It really has. Now, since then, I've gotten a pizza or I've gotten Chinese food or I've gotten, some other delicacy type food or something. I can't remember the last time really that I, the last time I sat down in a place and had a meal was, when I took my trip to Gettysburg a week ago and I went to the snack bar at the museum. Now maybe that's cheating. I don't know. That could be cheating. All right. They've got a little restaurant, like a cafeteria type restaurant there. All right. I'm hungry. I'll get something to eat. I got a tray. Got my food. Paid my money. Sat down. Ate it. That's the last time that I've sat down in a restaurant since I can't remember when. So if folks are complaining about, hey, we need more high end, restaurants in State College, my thought would be, you don't have the clientele for it. If you're the business person, you're like, why would I want to do that? Outdoor cafe sounds great. I remember my trip to Italy I took 3 years ago. Streetside cafes in that town we were in, just a number of them. And it was fun to just sit down. Somebody came over and waited on us. The weather thankfully cooperated, not like this, and so on. And it was great. I remember just sitting there like, this is great. I like this. Do we need more of those in downtown State College? My first question is, where are you going to put them? All right. Yeah, if you block off that stretch of Allen Street you mentioned, maybe restaurants can kind of extend out somehow and get more room. Otherwise, where are you going to put them? My Italy example, I mean, there was a wide space there, plenty of room for people to sit down at a cafe over here or a cafe over there. Allen Street is not it. All right. It's a two lane road. There's not enough space. So just logically, it doesn't fit. The population doesn't fit. The spacing doesn't fit. I mean, I can understand. Yes, we want more high end restaurant. That's wonderful. That's great. The numbers don't call for it. Sorry. That's it. This is not the same State College you grew up in, and I've been here for 40 years. It's just not. And it's not going to turn around. I mean, they could do something on Allen Street. They could do something to Calder Way. They could do something somewhere else. It's not the same.
Well, first of all, let the record show, I never grew up. I just was raised here, but I never grew up.
I erred in my description, okay? He's telling the truth, yes, ladies and gentlemen. So they can talk about it all they want. It's not going there. It just doesn't make any sense. With the current clientele, it doesn't make any sense. And I don't think you're going to force it. For a not one reason, for a number of reasons, just isn't. So, hey, we got to deal with it. All right, we're going to take our break. All right, we'll have another open line segment. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Yes, we're all thinking weather. So we're going to hear it from Joe later on in the hour. Yeah, we're going to talk about this No Kings thing because I got, kind of what we were talking about. We had a caller earlier. I got some concerns on this one. I really do. So, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher, Collie, and Guy Gadowski. Three Bark in the Park nights, E-L-G-S-E-S night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Well, let's just come back, Sans.
Jump
music,
right
shall
in.
We? It is Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Some open phone time here, and then Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us in the final segment of this morning's big show.
I do notes for every show. With the notes I have for today, we could go till like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, there's a couple of other things that I, but yeah, we haven't even.
I'm not exaggerating here. We could go to 5 o'clock this afternoon.
That is true.
All right, all this stuff from the weekend. All right, now this big U.S. Army parade on Saturday down in D.C. If you were listening last week, both your gentle hosts here, we both said, "Why are we doing this parade? We don't need a parade." And the expense and the whole nine yards. Now, 250th anniversary of the Army, that's a big deal.
Yep.
Okay, that's a big, we're going to have, as I've mentioned a bunch of times, we're going to have a whole bunch of big deals now. 250, 250, 250, 250. All right, next year, July 4th, poof, it's going to be through the roof. All right, kind of like, for those who can remember 50 years ago. How old are you, Scott? Okay, let's go back in time. For the bicentennial, that was big. This one's going to be bigger. All right, 250, 250, 250. So I didn't watch this parade on Saturday night. I'm sorry, I had other things to do. They did most of it. Luckily, apparently, the weather held off for the most part. Good for them. Although I guess they had some aerial things they were going to do, but there was a threat of lightning, and so they canceled those. Rightfully so. The tanks rolled, the soldiers marched, you know, all that sort of stuff. Okay, great. I will point out one number. All right. Now, I've never been military. I have friends who are, good friends. Army, Navy, Air Force, I think all of them. In recent years, they haven't been able to meet their quotas. In other words, they need to recruit new recruits, maybe coming out of high school,
yep,
or maybe in college. You know, young men and women, all right, to reach their goals, because we need soldiers, Army, Navy, Air Force, whatever. We need these people. And in recent years, they've been struggling to hit their quotas. They haven't been hitting them, which is not a good thing. All right, that's not good. Can't help but notice this. Last week, the Army, just the Army, announced that they have signed up over 61,000 future soldiers. So these are, again, people coming out of high school, maybe in college and so on. 61,000 future soldiers signed. Their target for the entire fiscal year was 55,000. So right off the bat, that's about 10% higher, which is good.
Yeah,
and they did it before the deadline, which is good. I've got one story here. It says the average contracts, when you go in the military, if you sign a contract, the average contracts per day have exceeded last year's levels by over 50% for the same time period, according to the Army. So all of a sudden now the Army's doing great when it comes to recruiting future members, and I will assume Navy, you know, the other armed forces are probably similar. Now, why is this? I'm just curious. If somebody out there knows, you give us a quick call, please do. All of a sudden, the military is popular again. Now, again, that's a good thing. We need people serving in the military, and hopefully, you know, these are people that are committed and they're going to work hard and, you know, all that stuff. Okay, so they had this big Army parade on Saturday. A lot of people are interested again in the Army. So, okay, that's good. Then we go to the again, the No Kings protest. Now, if you took part in this, okay, great. I'm going to ring the bell for you. I did not go to this gig on Saturday. Wasn't interested. I caught some clip on social media. Somebody, I guess, was just driving down College Avenue, and they had their phone, and they're videoing as they're driving down the street. I mean, there was a long line of people that took part in this gig on Saturday. And in other, you know, like Philadelphia, major cities, okay, there were a lot of people who turned out for this thing. I've seen at least one report that, and nobody knows, this is a wild guess, that maybe 5 million people took part in this thing on Saturday. Now you're thinking, wow, 5 million people. Wow, that's a lot of people. Wow. And 5 million is a lot of people. That's true. All right, that's obvious. There are 340 million Americans. So that means 5 million people allegedly took part in this gig. 335 million other people didn't. So when you kind of compare it that way, is 5 million really that much? Now, you might say, that's not fair. No, I'm just doing a numbers comparison. That's it. Okay. Now, one thing, again, there are a lot of news coverage. All right. Center Daily Times had coverage, statecollege.com, some other outlets, you know, TV stations, whatever had coverage, blah, blah, blah. One good thing, this is me being me, all right? One good thing is some of the pictures and stuff that I saw from the coverage on Saturday, maybe I missed it. I didn't see anybody wearing masks. I'll ring the bell on that one. I didn't see anybody wearing masks. In other words, people who really had convictions in what they believed with were right there, and they were, I don't know, chanting or holding a sign or singing or something, okay? But at least they didn't feel the need to wear a mask. Now, they were wearing ponchos because it was a little rainy on Saturday, either umbrellas or ponchos and so on. Okay, that tells me that you have conviction for, you know, turning out for this gig. Why? There's my simple question. Why? Now, if you're a longtime listener to this program, the people that I refer to as political animals and the people that are called themselves activists, I don't trust either one. One man's opinion. All right? The political animals see every issue out there through a political lens, and their ultimate goal is to bend and twist things to support what they like. Activists are pretty much the same thing. There's no such thing as a passive activist. They want something. Who are these people organizing these things? This is not spontaneous. And how do I prove that? It's very simple. All right, we've got some group out there, wherever they are, that, this is now a series. I can't wait for the next one. You know, it's like a TV cliffhanger. You know, at the end of the TV show, there's a cliffhanger. And you can't wait for the next episode. Oh, I can't wait. All right. For those old enough to remember the TV show Dallas? Remember Who Shot JR? That was like the biggest cliffhanger of all time. And people for months were like, who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Oh, I can't wait for the premiere to show it. This is similar in my eyes. All right. We had the hands-off protests. Remember those from a number of weeks ago? Now we have No Kings. I can't wait for the next one.
Spoiler alert. I still can't believe it was Larry, his brother Daryl, and his other brother Daryl that shot JR.
That was a different show. Huh? That was a different show.
Oh, am I getting that
You
mixed
got
up?
That one wrong.
Oh, I thought that was...
It was, what was her name? Kristen. Kristen was the one who did it to JR. No, you're... Huh. Although that was a funny show.
Well,
not Dallas, the other show. There's going to be another one.
Thanks for clarifying.
And again, some marketing genius is going to come up with a cute name tied into something. All right? Now, if you were in this gig on Saturday, all right, again, this was not spontaneous. It just was not. There are a number of stories. I only had seen one, but now there's other ones floating around. Somebody's funding this. It's not the Democrat Party. Again, they are so clueless right now, they don't know what direction to go in. And if you're a Democrat, I'm not trying to be insulting, but come on, am I telling the truth? Yes, I am. The Democrat Party, we're talking about the top levels, they're clueless. They have no idea what they're doing or what to do or how to do it. They've been stumbling for months. All right? And so some other folks, come on, folks, this is common sense. Some other folks with money have stepped up. They hate Donald Trump. Maybe they hate America. I don't know. I keep seeing these stories about some bill. I guess he's an American billionaire who lives in China. That's interesting. Who apparently is doing some funding and some other Chinese funding and so on. So if you were involved with this gig on Saturday, okay, I applaud you for your commitment. I genuinely do. Okay? There were some things, there are things Donald Trump has done I don't like. I've mentioned it here. The whole army parade thing. We didn't need that. All right, we didn't need that. And some other stuff. All right, the 51st state candidate was just stupid. Just dumb. And, you know, we're going to take over Greenland. Really? No, we're not going to do that. Now, maybe we could do some things with Greenland. That'd be great. We're not going to take over the country. That's insane. All right, that's crazy. Right to Panama Canal. We're reclaiming it. No, we're not. No. That's nuts. All right, so there are a number of things these folks have done that I don't agree with. But this movement, all right, we had an earlier caller. I mean, it was in rare agreement with him. This, ooh, I must be running a fever. Holy smokes. I agree with him. We need to be a little concerned about outside influences, and I really do wonder how many outside influences there are here. There's a line, I've used it a bunch of times, be careful who you hitch your wagon to. And so if you were one of these protesters on Saturday, you should be asking this question. Who have you hitched your wagon to? All right, now, the No Kings, whoever's really in charge of this gig, they have a website, or had a website, and they had a line on their website trying to, I guess, be forward-thinking, I guess. And so the line on their website was a reminder to those people who took part in this gig on Saturday. And the line was, we expect all participants to seek to de-escalate any confrontation with those who disagree with our values. Now, on the surface, you're like, okay, don't start a fight. That's a good thing. We'll ring the bell. Don't start a fight. We don't want to escalate any confrontation with those who disagree with our values. What values? What
well,
values?
Well, therein lies.
What if it's just we hate Donald Trump, that's not enough. What values is this group pitching? What does that mean? Because it stops right there. Our values. What does that mean? And please, please, folks. Oh, we're saving democracy. That's a crock. All right? Total, complete, 100%. Democracy is just fine. If democracy weren't fine, you wouldn't have been able to do the gig on Saturday. All right? But again, First Amendment, you're allowed to gather, and that's not going anywhere. Democracy is fine. What values? I would like to know that. Now, again, there were tons of stories about this. I found a story from the Collegian. Yes, Penn State is not officially in, but the Collegian keeps going. Good for them. I support the Collegian. They're great. They had a story after this gig, and they quoted, I'm just going to read this, because when I read this, I thought, what the is this? They quote a woman that was at this gig. Apparently the woman is pregnant. Now, I'm not going to mention, the story has the woman's name. I'm not going to mention the woman's name. Not going that far. They quote a woman who is pregnant and has a daughter at home. This is from their story, Collegian. And she apparently tells the reporter that being a woman in this country is now a joke. And then they have a quote, like a quote from the woman. I want a world and a country where my daughters can grow up the way they should. And I'm thinking, what on earth? What drugs is she on? And now that's harsh. But I'm just like, what? All right, I'm Scott. I raised two daughters. They're both great. They're doing wonderfully. They're doing exactly what they want to do. Are we getting a little carried away, some folks are, with this kind of stuff? This is one of the most bizarre quotes I think I've seen in a long time. I want a world and a country where my daughters can grow up the way they should.
What on earth is this? What the, what?
I mean, seriously, she needs to see a professional? I, like, if she honestly believes this, whoa. Now, again, Scott, you're being really harsh. I'm not trying to be, but listen to that quote. Are we getting carried away with some of this stuff? I hate Donald Trump so much. I'm going to go, ugh. Women are being, I mean, it's like The Handmaid's Tale. I think this woman thinks the world is The Handmaid's Tale, that dystopian book and TV show or movie, whatever it is. I've never watched it. Don't want to. It's bizarre. All right? I think she thinks that's what the world is, which is sad because it's not true. So if you were in this gig on Saturday, why were you there? What good did it really do? Other than people, yeah, unfortunately, I saw a couple people holding F-word signs. It's like,
oh, yeah,
that's constructive. That's very constructive. And the whole kings thing, all right, I don't like Donald Trump in a lot of ways. He's not a king. It's like, where did this come from? We have to take a break because, again, yes. Joe, we're going to talk to Joe and weather here in a little bit. It's something to think about today and this week. What really is behind this?
Yep.
All right, let's take our break.
Yep, a lot of craziness. We are coming right back with a check of the weather. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, joins us next.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.
Well, we are jumping for joy here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox because it is that time of the week where we get to talk to none other than Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Oh, good morning. I see that they're filming a sequel to 50 Shades of Grey around here with our weather.
Yes, indeed. It is so beautiful to look up and see all of those different shades of gray. Not everywhere gets that opportunity.
Yeah, it's just such a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, Father's Day, just nothing but slate gray, dreary gray, you know, yeah. Drippy gray. If you're into Western, Zane Grey. About five people know who Zane Grey was.
Yep.
Anyway, we still have the drippies and drearies today. We've got some more rain coming tomorrow. We've got a shot at severe thunderstorms I think on Thursday. And then it the weekend gets nicer, and then it gets hot next week. So we're going to get actually hot. We have a shot at 90 degrees early next week, so get ready for that.
Yes, indeed.
And looks to me like the weekend is pretty good. There may be some late night thunderstorms, late Saturday night and Sunday morning as the heat starts surging in, and you're going to really feel it next week. So if you like summer, it is coming. You know, we haven't been up until this weekend. We were actually a little bit above normal for the month of June. So people, you know, because the night times are so low. And this is where a lot of the warming is taking place. You know, we talk about all the global warming and everything else. It has not been with daytime highs. It's been with nighttime lows that have been abnormally warm. Pennsylvania, for instance, all the state is normal to above normal temperature through the 16th of June, through 0Z the 16th, which is last night. And you say, boy, come on. You know, it's because you're asleep at night and you don't realize if the low doesn't get below 60. That's warm for this time of the year. Normal low is still in the mid-50s or whatever the heck it is, maybe in the upper 50s now. And by the way, I want to say something, all right? I've got to say this. This is my voice. This is not an AI voice. I have heard tale that there's some voices that you hear on other places, certainly not here on the Fox, that are not the person. It's an AI generated version of the person. And I caught that on Friday because I was driving home and I happened to be listening to another station, and the forecast for Saturday on that station was partly cloudy with a few showers and a high of 73, but it had a human being saying it. And I was like, where the heck is that coming from? And I found out where it was coming from. The U.S. generated model, which a lot of these companies use just for their, what they call their database or whatever it is, was forecasting next to nothing over the weekend. Meanwhile, the European has 1 to 2 inches of rain, right? So if you're using the wrong system and you're, you know, you have the AI simply reading it and imitating someone, you come up with that. And I'm not saying who it was or whatever, but I was like, because, you know, the thing is this, and I've told my son this 1,000 times, never criticize another person's forecast. But I suspect that was the AI version of the person. So I was sort of going, because if he was looking at the weather, and I called my buddy Mark Mancuso down there at Channel 10, and I was talking to him. I said, do you see just partly cloudy tomorrow with a few showers? Now, if you're watching TAJ, there was, you know, just they had a washout for the weekend, which is what I think the weekend turned out to be a washout. I don't know if there was a time the sun actually might have been showing, but if it was
pretty darn brief. If it was in there, I missed it.
You know what's really weird? I got my other cataract out on Tuesday, right? And now I'm seeing everything like very clearly outside. I was looking outside Saturday, go, geez, it looks like it's going to snow here or something. Yeah, you know, because I could actually see what the clouds look like again. Like I said. And you know, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I would never let someone imitate me. You know, by that I mean, if my voice is going to go down with a busted forecast, which many of you have heard over the years, you've heard me bust on a forecast. At least it's me. You know what I mean, and not a regurgitated thing. So. I'm not doing forecasts anymore. I just come out and chit chat with you guys, so I can sit over here and throw stones if I feel like it, because I have no skin in the game anymore.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I am going to try to have an AI Ironhead make football predictions in the fall, because I can at least fluff that off to the AI.
Blame the machine.
Because right now I have to take the blame, and I don't like taking the blame.
Well, wait a minute. I'm already doing that. Grok is predicting a 9-3 football season next year for Penn State.
Nine and three?
9-3 is what Grock has.
Get
and,
out of here.
And we're going to lose. We lose to Ohio State. We lose to Texas, and we might lose one of the two games we play against Oregon. That's what Grock said. The other one, Chat AI, has us 10-2 or 12-2 or whatever the heck it was. But then I went on wrestling. Right? And poor Cunningham. I text all this stuff to Cunningham. He didn't respond, so he's probably like, I don't have time for this. Right?
But he was a little tied up this weekend.
I texted to him yesterday. Okay. Right? So, what I do is with Casey, I just bounce all my trash off Casey. Because he reminds me of my dad. He'll tell me straight to my face when I'm just like, stop it, will you? So, it's just kind of funny. He's the same age younger than me that my dad was older than me, which is, geez, that's really, anyway. So what happened was it predicts us to score 181 points next year in the Nationals. A lot of people are afraid of the AI. I'm not, it makes things faster. I just wrote, a big blog. And I'm going to feed it into the AI so it can grammatically correct everything I say. I have to reread it because sometimes it'll change something I don't really want changed with the meaning. It can't see, folks, you should not be afraid of the AI. It will make your world faster, but it cannot creatively think. In other words, that AI that was whatever I heard on that forecast, or partly cloudy, this is Friday at 4 o'clock. Right, I was listening, all right, because to be blunt about it, I listen to Hannity. Since I am his weatherman, I listen to him sometimes. But,
makes sense.
But what happened was, it was on that station. I was going, really? So the AI can't sit there and go, wait a minute. The Europeans got an inch and a half of rain printed out Saturday and Saturday night, which we did get, by the way. I think we got close to 2 inches of rain this weekend. And it really made a difference at Oakmont. Because, I know Garrett was, they had a whole posse of meteorologists out there, and Garrett was one of them. And he goes, well, the GFS only has 0.15. And I go, do you know what GFS actually means? That's the U.S. Global Forecasting System. We say it's good for, you can fill in the blank.
Yes.
No, the rule among forecasters is this. And whether they want to admit it or not, publicly, because I'm all for USA, and I don't think we should outsource our forecasting ability to the Europeans. But the fact is, the U.S. generated weather forecast and climate models are the Texas Aggies of models. By that I mean, I went and researched how much money A&M has raised over the past 5 years and how many wins they have, and they spend more money per win at $10 million than any other school in the country. Penn State is actually quite low at only $6 million per win. If you took out the COVID season, it's like $3 to $5 million per win. James Franklin has done an unbelievable job here. A lot of people don't appreciate what James Franklin has done. So what I do is I just simply feed the data into the model, but the model can't make adjustments. Like, it doesn't know if the, Evan Stewart, who is a great wideout, is probably not available for the Oregon game against us. See, I'm already scouting this stuff out.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm saying is the AI can't figure that stuff out. All it can do is get the information. And if you're feeding it information, and this is what I'm constantly arguing with it, with the climate change and stuff, that the paradigm that exists is all one-sided. All right. So if it's only taking a forecast from one model and not, let's say, a blend of models, or what I like to do is I like to weight the models. I'll give the European 40%, give the U.S. model 10%, the Canadian 10%, UK, you look at all these models, and then you go back and you look at analogs and say, well, what's the analog say to this? You go back and you look at past weather situations that are similar, and then you have a shot. I'm not saying you're going to be right, but you have a shot at being right. But if you just look at one thing, then you're only going to get what that one thing results in. And that is a big problem today, not only in weather and climate, across the board. You get people that just listen to one thing and don't look at other things. Well, that doesn't agree with my worldview, so it's going to be misinformation. This is why I love Fetterman. I don't agree with a lot of stuff he says, obviously. But the guy just will say he's objective. You know, it comes from left of center, of course. But he's objective about things. And I do think that, you know, he's recovered enough. And he's very open-minded. And I'm saying you've got to be that way, whether you're looking at the weather or whatever. And objectively speaking, when you're looking at cutting funding, they're cutting funding, in my opinion, to places that should not be cut. Like, there should be more research on hurricanes, on lightning, on tornadoes, and some of these things, right? But if you so you need a surgeon's tool. But when you get to climate modeling and weather modeling, we're not winning. We're in last place. I actually went on a site. I went on a site that I believe they are pro global warming. But I will go on and look at anybody that can give me information. That's all I want to see. I want to see the information, evaluate it, come up with my solution. All right. So what happened was their last line in what they were saying was that it is consistently, the GFS is consistently the worst model. Here it's from a site called Climate Impact. Okay, so I'm sure they're probably a man-made global warming site, but they do good research, and I love looking at their research, and if they want to come up with that conclusion, that's fine. But the volatile GFS consistently is the worst of the models, so it's getting beat by the Canadian, the UK MIP, all the Euro models. And I got a graph, if you follow me on Twitter, at Big Joe Bastardi, you can see what I'm talking about right in front of you. So it's very interesting when you're looking at AI. AI is going to make us faster. It's going to up the level, you know. And I love challenges, right? So what happens is suppose the models are right 90% of the time. That still gives you about 36 days that you can beat the models, right? If you just take the tie all the time and only focus on half of those 30 days, all right? And you score coups, you know, like with the way this summer's going, it's going to just completely flip in the plains, and we're going to have these short shots of heat that try to come east, and this is what we've been saying since March, is going to go on. Now, I want to cover one more thing. I know I'm just talking here.
Yep, but about winter, a minute left. Go ahead.
Well, already looking at the winter, and there's some very interesting things going on. Yeah, very interesting things. The water off the eastern seaboard of the United States has not been cold any winter this century, all right? And it is forecasted on multiple models to be cold. Now, this may have something to do with this whole geothermal push, because if the input is decreasing in the Atlantic, you know, what we call mid-ocean spreading, it means that there's not as much warm water being pushed up into the Gulf Stream, and the water is very cold off the east coast. The other thing is that we are watching volcanic activity off the west coast of the United States, because if you pull very warm water in off the west coast of the United States, you usually have a big cold winter in the eastern part of the country. So I'm already starting to look at that, because no matter which way the winter turns out, the story of the winter is already starting to be written right now. Yeah. So we're trying to look at that, get a flow chart. Next few days, more 50 Shades of Grey. For those of you that like that movie, you've got a nice sequel, except the weather version, which means, it's, at least it's clean. The weather is pure.
Yes. Mr. Bastardi, what should we do with that there weather?
Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. Scott, by the way, how you doing over there? Yeah, I'm sorry they didn't let you get anything.
Joe, that was a fascinating breakdown.
That actually was, was terrific. We appreciate it as always. Folks, have yourselves a great Monday. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.